Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now. One of the few black-owned radio network stations that addresses the solutions for the black community presents Black Urban America. Call in numbers 516-531-9540. That's all your people that like to listen by laptop. And press 1 if you have a comment or a question. The lineup for the week, of course, Tuesday nights, we have Black Urban America. On Wednesday nights, we have the Cutting Edge Women, Sean Williams. On Thursday night, we have the Portland Harlem Magazine with Wayne A. Young. And finish up the week, we have Provocative Thought on Saturday night. All shows begin at 8 o'clock. Now, tonight we're going to discuss a topic that I've been noticing for the last couple of years, which is ADOS. American Descendants of Slavery or African Descendants of Slavery. Now, I looked up the definition of ADOS, and what do people think of ADOS? What the first thing that comes to mind? But the definition is, it's a political movement that seeks to advocate for who are descendants of, they're the descendants of the enslaved Africans in the United States from the colonial period and onward. Okay, so we're going to discuss this tonight. And they said that two people, one from Howard and the Yvette Carnell, Antonio Moore, another person, came up with this term, ADOS. And we have an individual, she is the CEO and founder of Write It Off, and she come out of Chicago, and she's going to explain to us a little more in detail about ADOS. Good evening, Miss Boyd. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening. Things are great. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you for coming. And just sit back, relax. All we have is a conversation, an intelligent conversation about the black community across America. And what intrigued me over the past year or two, that I see all these articles and people talk about ADOS, ADOS. Mm-hmm. You know, I see signs out in the protest, ADOS, ADOS. I said, how this thing all started from? So I looked it up. You know, I really looked it up. I just, you know, I heard the abbreviation, what ADOS stands for. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go into a little detail this evening. Now, what is up now? They say in ADOS, they want to correct their identity and experience. So what is the African-American identity experience of today?
Oh, man, that is a great question. Well, let me start off with this. I really want to go ahead and point out the inaccuracy in the question, if you don't mind. Let me elaborate.
Go ahead.
We are not African-American. We've been here since 1619. We are American. As a matter of fact, we are America. The blood of our ancestors nourishes this land. And it's time the U.S. respectfully acknowledge their sin and their debt, and it's time for them to pay up. Our experience has been one filled with oppression, exclusion, and misidentification. Okay, so what we're experiencing is what I'd rather call ethnogenesis, right? So when we were first sold from Africa to Europeans, what they ultimately did was create a new people. We are American descendants of slavery. And
now,
that's my take on it.
Okay, so I don't disagree with you about us being Americans, you know, because I had uncles, I had a brother, I have cousins that fought in every war since World War One, maybe before World War One, but that's all my family history to go back to. It's World War One, and I come and the patriotic, all that jazz and everything. But if you're so much of America's citizen, how come the laws and the policy do not apply to us as American citizens? They still treat us like we second-class citizens.
Yes. Yes, they are.
We're Americans, but we don't get treated like Americans.
We surely don't. And you know what I like to, maybe we can throw out there that America is a shame. Maybe acknowledging their first sin is a shame. Acknowledging will also require restitution as well. So maybe that's something we should be asking all our politicians come election.
You know what? All cultures by now, whether they come from China, Pakistan, India, the Middle East, the Caribbean, every continent, every country on this earth know what the United States have done to its black American citizens. I think they know what they did because they are the biggest beneficiary of our slavery.
I agree with you there.
So I don't think the shame of it. I think they like to sweep it under the rug.
And they want to say to us,
oh, slavery is over. It's been over so long. But however, the consequences of slavery still lingers on 450 years later. What do you think about that, Ms. Boyd?
It is. We still carrying the burden as if we're still going through it. There's been no acknowledgement, and I absolutely agree 100% with what you said. They are sweeping it under the rug. They are trying to simplify it. They're ignoring what's going on. It's called like a benign neglect. So they are sweeping it under the rug. They're trying to brush it off and claim that we're free, but we're still being redlined. We're still being excluded from all of the rewards of being American. Like, people come from different countries to get a piece of the American dream, and we, the descendants, the American descendants of slavery, are excluded from that. That is a problem. But we have to call that out. We collectively have to hold them accountable for ignoring our plight, ignoring what's going on, pandering to us, not giving us tangible benefits. We're supposed to just vote, just give up our vote. And if we actually demand anything, they try to shame us as if we've done something wrong here. So Yeah, I agree with what you said with that sweeping under the rug. And I also think that we have to call them out. Pressure burst pipes. I know y'all done heard that one before. We got to put enough more pressure on them.
We have a question for Bichon. She's the host of The Cutting Edge, which come on Wednesday nights. Go ahead, Bichon. After that, we have a caller. After Bichon, we have a caller.
Okay. Black Americans are suffering across this nation. What are ADOS solutions to this crisis?
First of all, one of the first things that we're calling amongst us, because, again, pressure bursts pipes. We, the people, have to collectively hold our elected officials accountable. If we do not call them out, if we sit here and allow them to continue to pander and say what they may do, but don't hold them to the fire, then they're not going to do anything. They're going to continue to ignore us as we're seeing. So we have to collectively decide on what we're going to agree to politically as a political power, and that's reparations, right? Because they need to atone for their sins, and it's also equity. Now, we may not agree on, you know, all the things that we need to do or take action together as a people, but it's those things right there, reparations. They need to atone for their sins, and we're calling our brothers and sisters to help us in that. And then also in equity, we should not be excluded from the wealth that our ancestors bled and died for. We should not be the bottom caste. Capitalism requires somebody to be the bottom caste, but I say, as the descendants to the ancestors that helped build this country, it should not be us. Absolutely not. Paying us reparations would turn us into an elite class, and they don't want, you know, they don't want to do that, to be honest.
There is a bill in Congress, and I forgot the name of the bill. It was shared with us by one of our guests a couple of months ago that was leading a boycott in Louisville. Forgot it was HR. You remember the bill, Michonne?
Oh. Were you referring to the Heels Act?
The bill that got in Congress to address reparations.
Okay. I know what bill.
You're talking about the HR 40, that old bill that needs to be edited?
Yeah, okay. That's the HR 40.
Are you thought, or maybe even thrown away? Some of my constituents said we need to start that over from scratch. That bill is there sitting, babysitting us. You know, we need some political advocates that have some guts to actually call out on our elected officials to do the right thing, and we have people just sitting there placating and just wasting time like that. That it needs to be edited. We don't need any more babysitting. We don't need any more groups of people trying to decide on whether it's something we should do or not. Morally, what was done to us is wrong, and it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be atoned for. You know, like I don't know how many more, you know, reviews need to be done for them to determine that it was wrong. I don't know what else needs to be.
Well,
how long
I'm
gonna
say this before I bring this caller on. I'm gonna say this one thing about slavery before I bring this caller on.
Sure.
Do you agree or disagree that slavery was a major institution, economic institution, at one time in this country?
Absolutely.
In the Western world, really.
Absolutely. But America had a special type of slavery that they created just for us, a special type of slavery called chattel slavery. That was generational
right.
slavery. That was something that wasn't anywhere else. Whereas your parents, your child, the great grandchild, like it was generational. So that was America's creation. They created it, sanctioned it, and you know, municipalities, governments, institutions used it to build America's wealth. Slavery, chattel slavery, is America's baby, and they need to pay up.
Okay, we have a caller, 5073. You have a comment or a question for our guest tonight?
Well, I have a comment. Oh, okay, I was listening, and I agree with what she said about holding the elected officials accountable. But and also, we're going to have to learn how to unite together for the for that main purpose of what we're trying, what she's trying to do. Because we got a lot of elected officials who are comfortable in the positions of power that they have and don't want anybody else to upset their cargo. And the white race really has not agreed that they have done anything to us. And I think they refuse to admit it because it is very shameful how they had us as slaves. And once they admit that, you know, the world is really going to look at them in a strange way. Nobody is worried about it, for real.
Well, they don't really
admit
it,
but they are. But see, what they have to do, we have to do is, like she said, not only hold the black representation for us, we got to unite as a people so everybody will be on the same side and going for the same prize.
Mm-hmm.
One, for them to admit what they did to us, and they haven't done that yet. A few people have, but as a whole, nobody has agreed. They think that what they did to us was right. We were not fit to be classified as humans. And that's the problem, because once they admit to all those things that we're asking, they know they have to give up something, maybe the country itself. And most of them won't do that. Even on my job, I said, they say, why do you all have a beef with us? I said, they say, we didn't do anything. I say, but you're living off of what we have done for your forefathers, and you do owe us. I hate to see you in a position where you're looking down on me, and I'm the one put you where you are. And they don't, they look at like, no, we didn't do that. Somebody else did it. I say, yeah, but look how rich you are. You didn't earn it. We did. And it was passed down to you. And that's the reason why we can't pass a lot of things down to our children, because we're so far down on the totem pole that we don't have anything to leave. Because according to the Bible, my fortune should be left to my grandchildren, not my children. It says leave it to your grandchildren. Each parent leaves it to the grandchildren, because the parents should be making something for themselves. And we don't have that advantage. You hear a lot of those in power that are black say, there are jobs out there. But see, they haven't had the advantage of being turned down, or as soon as you turn your back from filling out an application, it's in the garbage. And they never call you. I'm the only black woman in my, where I work at, and I have been there 18 years, and they have never had another one.
Wow.
And the black guy, They haven't hired a black person in my company in almost 19 years. And they tell me they can't find anybody. We had a black girl that was a chemist who could have taken over a job. You know what? When they found out how qualified she was, they decided to hire within because they did not want a black woman to have that much power in their company. So we have a lot to do, first with ourselves and then go after them, because we need everybody in line.
You sure do.
You have a response for that, Ms. Boyd?
Well, I mean, what else can I say? we absolutely do. We need to, again, we're at www.ados101.com. We talk about what we're needing to get addressed throughout the country for our community, right? We're talking about reparations. We're talking about equity. We're talking about a black agenda, okay? So when they're talking to us, demanding our vote almost as if it's owed, what are they offering? What are they offering? We have to start asking that question. What are you offering us, offering me, offering my family in exchange for my vote? I'm still waiting on somebody to answer that question because I haven't seen it yet. So
that's Ms. Sean saying. What do you have to say about that, Ms. Sean? Ms. Sean, tough on that voting.
Oh, right. I don't believe that anybody should give their vote away. And I don't believe in a concept of you have two evils and you pick one.
Yes.
I believe that if they can't do anything for you, you should not give them your vote. But there's a lot of people who disagree with me and think, oh, if this person stays in office, we're going to have it bad. They have been having it bad. And if the other person get in office, what is he going to do for them? Both candidates have laid out their positions and what they want to do. And neither one of them said reparations for black people. Biden said what he's going to do for Hispanics and the LGBTQ, but they expect a black vote. And there's a lot of black people who are going to give it to him just because they think, right, because they said, oh, Trump is bad. They're all bad.
So they will go out
and vote for Biden and watch the Hispanics get something, watch the LGBTQ get something, and they'll be sitting back looking crazy because once they got your vote, we don't need to see you again until another 4 years where we can use you again. So to me, it's
I heard
just
all
like,
truth.
Well, it, I mean, just being proven. If you go back and look, so, but you can't always, like, some people aren't ready to hear that kind of talk because they have the old way of thinking. They think, oh, this person is bad. I think the Democratic Party has used the black vote, used black people, and have not done anything for them because in all these years they're still in a bad situation. And most of the cities that have high crime, a lot of murders and tore up joblessness are ran by Democrats.
Ouch.
So,
well, can I say something?
Somebody to go out there.
Go ahead. Let 507-3 say something. Go ahead.
Oh, you talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. I understand what Deshaun is saying, but I think the whole. One reason we don't get anything, they have taught us to be nonviolent. When I read my Bible, anytime they gained anything in it, it was through taking things. It wasn't through marching down the street peaceably because nobody listens really to a peaceful fight. You cannot fight peacefully. And as long as there is a nonviolent movement, you're going to have to choose one or the other until you take a stand that you're not going to put up with neither one of them. And if you don't vote, if you're not voting, say, for either one of them, what have you proved? Nothing. You got to let not voting by getting out there telling them what they are not going to do. And you cannot do that peaceably. I will agree. Don't vote for either one of them if you're going to do something else. But if you're not going to do anything else, let the ones that's voting vote then. Because we need action. We don't need peaceful demonstrations. But we need to stop tearing up stuff in our own neighborhoods. But we need to go out,
that's
where,
a start right
go
there.
Out where the power
is. That's a start right there. How about building businesses for ourselves? You know? Hey,
well,
I want
you know what?
Go ahead.
White people went
out for
Wall Street. They went out and looted, murdered, burned up stuff. Because that's exactly how Black Wall Street ended in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but we don't do that. We're not doing that. If we went down and say for where I am, we should be over burning up Coca-Pelli.
When we do that, we end up in jail. Yeah.
When we do that, we end up in jail. And considering
considering
our financial situations, when we get locked up, that's a whole different story in our household. So
right.
There are some of us that actually go out and put their bodies on the line for our fight, and they end up in jail. And because of slavery, because of being excluded from everything, because we don't have the resources, that makes our situations even worse. So there we definitely need to be out here voting. We definitely I definitely agree with that. I don't agree with that let's pick the lesser of two evils mess. I think that is trash. I think that's outdated thinking. I think that is the reason we are where we are, because that just gave us the excuse to, just vote Democrat. You know, we just voted Democrat.
But I think
both candidates are
trash.
Yes. They don't have a real Black agenda. Neither one of them do.
I have a question.
Let me say this. We don't really do anything about it until it's election time. We knew this election was coming up. How come we wasn't out there doing something about and letting the candidates know exactly where we were standing? We wait till
the
last
letting them know.
For some concerns.
80's 101 is letting them know. Yvette Carnell is letting them know. Antonio Moore is letting them know. And we're being ignored.
Victor is letting them know. New Black media is letting them know.
We're being ignored.
And
they're
like
calling you all troublemakers.
Troublemakers. We've been repping bots. We've been everything. But
that's why they're ignoring black people. Us is not doing their job. They should be up there. But like I said, they're comfortable with what power they have, although they are not doing anything, and they want to keep their money. So they're just as bad as the opposition.
I have a question for all of y'all.
It's some gatekeepers. It's definitely some gatekeepers messing everything up now.
Yeah, I have a question for all of y'all, okay? With so much of this information about slavery, about the issues that need at hand, what the United States had done to Black folks in America, why do you think that the United States do not think they owe us anything such as reparations? Like you said, both candidates. And I have another follow-up question, but I want y'all to tackle that first half. Why do you think that the United States Biden, who's supposed to be for black folks, I almost heard every speech in his campaign. Not one time did he mention utter the word reparation.
Mm-hmm. He would lose his base.
He'd lose his base. They both would. They would lose their base.
Why do you think United States feel they don't owe us anything?
They don't want to give up with their wealth, their ill-gotten gains.
Yes.
So if they do that, they might have to give up something. I listened to this white man talking, and they were talking about that they're getting their guns, they're getting ready just in case a race war happens. Because they were saying that they were scared of retribution and revenge. Because they know, and this was out of their mouths that I was listening to online, that how dirty and bad they have treated black people and the things they have done to them and still are doing. So they are terrified. So they were saying that black people are going to come after them and do them like they did to black people or worse. So that's here. So that's what they were saying. But I do feel like black people need retribution and revenge. So they should be scared. I hope they can't sleep at night.
I don't think anything going to come from violence behavior. But like the sister said, you know,
they
jail
took
jail and
country
prison.
By violence from Native Americans.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
Everything they have gotten, they have taken by force.
That's true.
So why not? How are you going to get what you want from people? All they know is violence. They're dirty. They're underhanded. They can't be trusted. And they will kill you in a heartbeat.
With all of those adjectives, with all of that, those characteristics explaining the government culture or the culture that benefit from these negative institutions, why you want anything from them? Just do for self. Build your own community.
Oh, no. I got to interject. Oh, not with that do for self mentality. I can't do that one. Oh, I got to interject right there because we're the only reason we're the bottom caste is because of slavery. The only reason that everybody comes to America with their hand out. Every politician got their hand out. All these everybody that apply, all these business owners that was breaking the banks at Wall Street, they got their hands out every day, all day. But when we come for something that is old, we are told we got to pull ourselves up by the bootstrap. I would tell you how I respond to people that come to me like that, but I probably can't speak that type of language on this show.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
I'm going to stop anybody that says, oh, you begging, oh, you got the handout, outdated thinking. We were indoctrinated to think silly like that. I think that's silly thinking. I think that's broke thinking. I think that's being too proud thinking. Our family bled and died for this country. This wealth belongs to us. There is no reason why we, black Americans, should be bottom calves when we built this country. Not by any means. So
if you don't think that we'll be better off as that there's this program called Project Separation, just separating, have our own businesses, have our own communities, have our own schools, you know, not being dependent on the government to do anything for us but to do for self, like Marcus Garvey said.
I'll do for self after they cut me my check. How about that?
Right.
I'll do for myself
I
then.
Agree with you on that. I won't cut the check.
Cut me my check. Then we can start. Then there's a clean slate. Don't sit here and try to ignore
what y'all did. Don't sit here and try to, like, I'm so sick of this benign neglect, and then y'all sit here and tell us, oh, pull yourself up by the bootstrap. So-and-so, Beyonce getting a bag, Oprah getting a bag, who cares about them? Let's talk about the majority of the people. Let's talk about how we are closed off to resources. Let's talk about how immigrants come to our country and get access to resources we don't even get. So,
and they come to our neighborhoods, too. And they come to our
neighborhoods to our neighborhoods with our taxpaying money and set up shop for their families. But then when we ask for something, we lazy. Get out of here. We built this country. Ain't nothing about any of us lazy.
Okay. Now, earlier, y'all mentioned, let me just say this one for one thing. Before I say, I just got to repeat this phone number. 516-531-9540. Press 1 for all you people that listen by laptop. And if you already listen by phone, just press 1 to join into the dialogue. Okay, you mentioned the agenda, okay, the black agenda, and which in the article, I think it was Brookings, that said, you know, developing a new deal. What would be a part, what y'all think would be a part of the new deal in the black agenda for us?
Well, I do know very, very, I stand by the fact that number one, before we even get to that, we need to, our lineage needs to be corrected. I'm going to jump back on it to get to your question, but I can't
explain
the fact that they're
trying
to erase.
Explain the lineage. Let's explain the lineage.
Yeah, they're trying to erase race. They're trying to erase race before our eyes and not address our lineage. ADOS is a movement, but it's also a lineage. Again, we're American descendants of slavery, and we need that separation because we are different. Again, we built this country. Our ancestors built this country, and we should. We need set-asides for us, not being grouped in this throwaway category. They've been throwing us in this minority bag for too long. As far as I'm concerned, I don't feel like we're the minority anyway, but that's another conversation. But we need set-asides for us, for ADOS, okay, not thrown into this minority because everybody eat off minority. White women eat off minority. Asian people eat off minority.
Latinos.
The LGBTQ. Everybody eats off that minority. We need our own set-asides. We are owed that. You know what I mean? We are owed that for being excluded from the wealth for so long, for not being able to have access to what's owed to us. We barely can even own a home without trying to jump through all these hoops. And depending on where your zip code is, good luck. You know, so it's time for us to have some set-asides. And that's on the federal level as well as especially in the local level as well, set-asides specifically for us in contracts, so forth and so on. Definitely reparations is number one on that. On that agenda, and set aside for black businesses need to be made for us, infrastructure plan for our communities. Our communities have been neglected for years. Soon as
right.
a few
yeah.
of us come in a nice area, it's called a hood. The city don't want to put no money in it. What's going on with that? So we need money in infrastructure. Money to go to resources, money for businesses, money to address mental health issues. That so they always talk about the things that the plights that we're going through, the things that we're doing, but they never address what caused those things. So I'm waiting to see some of these things in a agenda for us, a federal. Or local, from our governors all the time, mayors to our aldermen. We got to hold all of them accountable, especially on the at the local level, because that's where we can do the most work, on the local level.
Right. Okay. Grab me, Sean.
So, Ados 101, to www.ados101.com, you'll see that Black Agenda. And for anybody wanting to join us in Ados Chicago, you can visit us at adoschicago.org.
Okay. Are there any other states besides California that is considering reparations?
Whew. Well, on as far as like a bill, I haven't seen anything. I know like local municipalities are attempting their quote unquote versions of reparations. I have to say, reparations is a federal issue and is nothing that should be addressed on any state or local level. America created it. America needs to address it.
Okay, and what made you want to advocate for people who are descendants of the slaves?
Well, in addition to the fact that I'm one of them, I see what's happening in the community, and I don't like it. I know that in order for things to change, I have to change, and I can't call out what other people are doing or not doing if I'm not going to take action myself. So it was just me getting tired enough to want to do something about it. Me wanting and having a desire to learn more and to seek help and information. So that's how it starts. So when you get tired of your family and your friends and your community experience something, you get tired enough, you'll do something about it. And that's what we need y'all to do. We need people to not only be tired and but put some action behind it. Be pissed off enough to do something about it and to have those conversations. People are too scared to have these conversations. We should be able to vocalize what's going on. Like you couldn't even talk about religion or politics in the home. You know what I mean? Like, that's horrible. And that's part of the reason why we are where we are, because we're afraid to have these conversations. But things have gotten real, and it's time for us to ask those pressing questions, and it's time for us to dig deep so we can address some of these false narratives that have been destroying our communities.
Why are we, including Black politicians, Black businessmen, Black educators, you know, why are we, you know, afraid to have an open dialogue? I ain't talking about backroom dialogue or whispering dialogue. I talk about open dialogue about plight and about solutions, what we want this country to do when it comes to Black Americans.
Well, I think that the ones that are in power don't want to lose a position or say what they have gained so far on our causes, but don't really do anything to help anybody else. People are just, they don't, well, I won't say, how can I put this? They like where they are in life, and they don't want Black people, white people, and nobody else to upset their apple cart. And they are not going to say anything that might take away some of their finances. So they're going to stay just, shall I say, neutral, because it's working for them.
It's working for them. It's working for them with a selfish individual thinking. Individualism is killing our community. It's killing us. It's killing us. And it's killing our communities.
The first one I would get rid of would be the NAACP.
I co-sign on that one. They don't have our best interests at heart. They're ignoring.
And get rid of the Black Caucus too.
Well.
Are you at it?
Well, the NAACP mostly deal with the court system.
They need to do more than one thing.
It's time to do more. We are in a different time right now. We are in a different time right now. They address the needs of everybody else, but they quiet when it comes specific to us. When it's people of color, then they pop out. When it's another group, they pop out. When it has something to do specifically for us, you hear crickets. So what purpose are they serving? Or we need to just take over the membership. How about that?
The membership needs to get younger. The membership needs to utilize other tools and strategies to address these issues that are plaguing our communities across this country, you know. And I think, well, hell, if you talk about outdated strategy, marching is an outdated strategy. Nothing get accomplished, you know. Everybody go home until the next event. Everybody go home to the next shooting. Everybody go home, you know, but there's never no follow-up after the march. There's never no collaboration of ideologies after the march, you know, and we have
to start planning and selected
different strategies that's going to benefit our communities, whether it's political, whether it's economic, whether it's law, whether it's education. There are many institutions that we are involved in that has been plagued us for many years. The public school system not teaching our children. We can't get a business loan to start a business, but a person from Pakistan that just don't even know how to speak English to get a loan before we do. Matter of fact, we should even get a loan. That's where that reparation should come in, reducing the wealth, the inequality of the wealth gap. You know, so we have laws on the books that are anti-black.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if the president got the Proud Boys on standby, who do we have on standby?
GDs, Vice Lords.
They're not talking that.
Blood. We have ADOs on standby, and then furthermore,
the Proud Boys is a Cuban American.
Well, see, y'all laugh when she said GD, Vice Lords, Cribs, Bloods, and all that. Let me tell you something. It's just that their behavior, their energy are negative. If we could turn that behavior and energy into positive thinking, let me tell you, they are our new.
That's what we should have been doing.
Black
all
Panthers,
along.
The revolutionary thinkers. They're organized. They got the brotherhood. They got rules. They got standards. They got policy. It's just that they indulge in negative activities. If we could turn that around, we got some hell of a fight going
in. All that killing in Chicago, there's a white man in it somewhere because he's giving them the guns.
No lies being told.
You know what? You have asked some really great questions, and I feel like the answer to all of them questions, them issues with law and education and things like that, it all starts with politics. Politics is the basis of everything that we do.
in everything. I don't know why the conversation was ignored. Politics is involved in everything that we do. Politics is economics. Politics is education. Politics is community. That's where we have to. That's where we have to go. That's where we need to start. Politics, being engaged politically, not just during election time, but all the time, because you're paying taxes all the time. You should be engaged in politics all the time. Our kids are in school, you know, is having to do with school. You got all these city buildings and, you know, the city and everything goes on. But at the basis of that is politics, how we're interacting, how is that tax money being divided, how is this money
Are we going to the meetings? Are we going to the town hall meetings? Are we going to the council meetings? And all the, you got to be involved if you're going to go down that road.
Well, there's different levels of involvement, and we got to be honest with that as well. There's multiple ways to get involved. Everybody doesn't really have a lot of time on their plate. Look at the life we juggling. A lot of, we got single parent homes, we got parents with multiple jobs, but there are various ways that you can participate. You can donate, you can phone bank, you can email your email the elected officials. People can go to the offices. People can attend the lives, the Facebook lives, and address them on Twitter. There's various ways of engagement, but you got to do something other than just complaining. That gets nobody in nowhere.
Right. Well, Miss Boy, I would like to thank you for coming on the show. I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So, Michonne, what you talking about tomorrow night?
I just got a text message, so I got to get back with you on it. I'll let you know tomorrow because my
All
guess
right.
something came up.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's ADOS and 101. And that was Ms. Winterboy, CEO of Write It Off. And just like to say that we need people in all avenues. We need people with all different skills that could really work in our communities. For our families, for our neighborhoods, as you say, infrastructure. First time this year that somebody said something about our infrastructure. Tomorrow night, tune in for the Cutting Edge with Shawn Williams. I'd like to thank everybody for listening tonight. As always, I am because we are because I am. Good night.